Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to More To It, the show that takes a deep dive into the biggest stories in sports, entertainment, and culture. Start with headline news and then journey to deeper conversations, always finding those life lessons that are presented in every single story. I'm your host, Marcel Swally. That dude.
How you guys out there feeling? Feeling as good as I look right now, you know what I'm saying? Extra crispy, got my graduation cut so I could represent for my daughter so she could point at her daddy and then everybody say, where your daddy? That ain't your brother? You know how it goes. I got a lot of love where I'm about to head right now. Pumped to see my daughter walk across that stage with those heels and that gown and throw that tassel. And let's go into this real world and tackle it and handle it. Pump, pump, pump. But you know how we start off every show with, what's up with that dude? Well, your boy went to a spot again, had another meeting again with a couple cats that, once again, we're talking pickleball. Pickleball, man, dang. I'm just letting y'all know if you don't already know. The next wave, which is the wave right now, is pickleball. Everybody is trying to get into that sport and from a brand perspective as well. So obviously I got a affinity for the sport. I play it. I have a pickleball court and a lot of my friends challenge me. And surprisingly, even though I can't move as well as I used to, matter of fact, I can't move well at all, but I'm good at pickleball, man. I love it. It's a great sport where grandparents can play their grandkids and still have some fun and get a little activity in. So all is good on that front. I'm just going to try and join these forces and to hit the marketplace and hit it big. We'll see. I also went to Taekwondo. Don't want to tell y'all my schedule every single show, but y'all got to get y'all kids into some martial arts. I don't know which one. It could be karate. It could be Taekwondo. It could be whatever you want. Jiu-jitsu. A little gangster, little dude on the ground just tussling with people. Whatever you want to do. But get them into it because the mental discipline, how they get locked in, how they start to see how they can contribute to something greater than themselves in terms of them being with their other classmates and the discipline and respecting their space, respecting your space. But also, you look at that wall, you see those belts and those different colors. Every time I go, I'm just fascinated at how it's designed to really build up great little kids into adults of high character. Very few people I know that know martial arts that are assholes, that are bad people, that got bad character, that are not disciplined, that are not hard workers. Like, you know, just something about that, man. It seems like it's a secret sauce over there. So make sure you guys get you a little taste of that secret sauce for your itty bitties. And other than that, last night, man, was watching that Laker game, looked over, the wife was asleep. I was like, damn, don't I got a trip to take tomorrow? You know what that means, appointment. I got an appointment with you, lady, wake up. And let's think about procreating or something. Let me start. She ain't even wake up, dog. Lakers didn't wake up either. They were sleeping through that whole game as well, man. We knew the Lakers weren't going to win that game. We'll talk through that later. But right now, let's get the show started with topic number one, women's pay gap in sports. Let's talk through it. The women's tennis world has been shaking of late because the Italian Open is going to pay women the same amount they're going to pay men. However, they're not doing it today. Supposedly, all this is supposed to take place in a couple of years. So the world ranked number 7. I don't know how to say her name. Ons Jabeur. Yeah. I got to go to her country and get that one right. Sorry. Disrespectful. I'm John Anderson, and I just disrespected your name. Man, y'all need to stop playing. You know how many people call me Marcus? I don't give a damn. Long as I know you talking to me, I get you, big dog, and I'll correct you. But she's the number 7 in the world. And she says that female players shouldn't have to wait to receive the same prize money as their male counterparts, as the Italian Open and their tournament organizers announced the plans to get that pay parity in 2025. Well, she has a point already. If we're going to do it, why we can't do it right now? Now, that's a point. Doesn't mean that that is everything and that's the entire premise. Now, to get to that point, maybe they're making some adjustments. Maybe they're making some constellations. Maybe they're looking to get future earnings and future sponsorship to support that. You don't know what their game plan is. You just know how you want the game to end. So sometimes you can't rush someone in this situation. But pay parity is the discussion, right? So she is talking about what tennis has been seeking, which is trying to be the leader in the battle of equality in terms of pay equity. All right. With equal prize money going to the men and the women at the 4 Grand Slams. That's what they're trying to do. All right, here's something of evidence. The WTA Tour events, they still offer less prize money than to the women than they do to the men. In the Rome tournament, the total financial commitment for the men, $9.5 million. For the women, $3.5 million. Ooh, we're going to talk about why. All right. So all of this is happening. I could bore you with some of the details, but basically there are some events that already have equal the pay field, right? Similar events like Indian Wells, where I go all the time. Shout out to BNP Paribas. Miami, Madrid offer equal pay for the women, although they are listed as mandatory tournaments also for the players. Okay. Now, the last thing about this is, they go out there and say, and some of the tennis players are speaking out and saying, I don't know why it's not equal right now. They didn't inform us. They say this is what you get and you have to play. Okay, why is there this big pay gap in the equality for the women and men in sports? Well, do you really want to hear the answer, right? I always tell people, when people ask me, hey, Marcellus, I got a question for you. I'm like, all right, it's going to be one of those kind of questions. All right, it's a good question. And they asked the question. I said, do you really want the answer? Okay. All right, let's go through the major sports. In our country, it's football. Let's go with the counter of women in football. So that will be what? The Professional Women's Football League, which they actually have. I hope you guys support. Or Legends League, which is the lingerie league, right? Basically. So there's no equality in terms of pay gap in football. Basketball. All right, let's do it. The NBA and the WNBA. Can't go there, right? WNBA is actually in the red, right? They are always subsidized by the NBA. Okay, what's the other major sports? Baseball. Can't go there. Why? Baseball, Major League Baseball, and what? Softball? Is there a professional women's softball league? If so, woo, that's a struggle with a K. Okay, what's the other one? Major sport. Hockey. All right. Professional women's hockey? League. All right. So now we go to the auxiliary sports, right? The ancillary sports, the other sports. And this is as a parent, as a father of 3 girls, I understood this. I used to always say, man, at tennis and golf, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. If you have girls, do not let them play. Well, let me say it the right way. Let them play whatever they want, but they got to play golf and tennis or one of them. You have to. If not, you're robbing them of a career opportunity. Think about it. If they play any of those other sports and they're amazing, even softball, people, I know some parents that play, their kids play softball just for the scholarship. And that's it. That's it. Volleyball, that's it. All right? There's a women's professional volleyball circuit, but I know some of them on that tour. Tough sled. Let's just say that. Okay, so golf and tennis. And that's why tennis is taking the lead. That's why tennis is taking the charge. It's saying, we're going to be first and we're going to do it. Because they're justified in doing it. It's just that simple. Between the audience and the ratings and attendance for men and women, I mean, you can squint and maybe find a difference, but most times you won't. Matter of fact, in terms of sponsorship and brand building, you can look at some of the women who are outpacing the men. So in that sport, it's not like they are sitting there altruistically with this big, pure heart saying, yeah, equality. They're actually being supported by, yeah, they are bringing in the dough, women in tennis. Golf is right there, close second as well. Close second, but still a distant second, right? So that's why we're talking about tennis in terms of pay equity. And that's why we're not going to talk about it in any other sport except maybe golf. Pretty interesting right there, right? Somebody comes out and sounds wax poetic about, oh, we're going to take care of the men and the women. And you say, yeah, equality. And then you realize, oh, y'all just getting paid to do that and say that. Man, feeling good. Thank you guys for your viewership on Brinks TV and your membership into Wally's World. I keep getting members. I like that. Love you guys for it. All right, let's talk about Anthony Davis, who right now, let's just be real, even his teammates, man, you got to be losing love for Anthony Davis because he just keeps getting hurt. As we used to say when I play, you can't get right. You ever met Mr. Can't Get Right? Just no matter what. Can't get right. Pig pen, always dusty. Always got a problem. God dog, Anthony Davis stay hurt. I guess they were saying that about me because I stayed hurt too. But I was having surgeries. This sucker just be having issues, right? Like, I'll get into it. All right, so he left midway through the fourth quarter. We saw they were down at the time, what, 12, 11, and then you look up, they were down 11, 12, so it's like, where's the difference? But they could have made a run with the defensive presence, especially of Anthony Davis. But that happened in the fourth quarter. He got struck in the head accidentally by Kevon Looney. We get it. All right. So while both players, they were over there positioned in the lane, D'Angelo Russell was going in for the layup. Ah! Hit AD. Now, this is where it gets interesting. So he was initially evaluated on the bench by the Lakers athletic training staff. And before he went back in the arena to the back room for further medical attention. But there was one part of this story that made it really interesting. They put him in a wheelchair and carted him to the training room after feeling quote-unquote woozy. Okay, you take an elbow to the head, oh yeah, it's going to be a problem. And I'm not just talking about like a controlled elbow, because I know everybody like, man, I've been hitting the head with an elbow before. Game five, fourth quarter, backs against the wall against the reigning champions, and one of their big oafs, their big bodies, right? One of their shields, yeah, hits you upside the head. That does hurt. I give Anthony Davis that. However, when I saw him on the sideline and I was looking, and you know, I've been hurt so many times, I think I know body language, and I'm an expert on that body language when compromised, when hurt. And I was looking at him, and I was like, okay, this is the production that we talk about all the time on this show. There's a production when you lose a game, right? Oh, come on, man. Damn. Come on, y'all. I mean, you know, you got to do the production. Meanwhile, your phone goes off and all of a sudden you're doing all that and you're like, oh, man, damn. It's a production. Even though it hurts, you feel it. I'm not saying that everyone's faking it. I'm saying there's a layer of sauce and condiments that you pour on it because you know everybody is trying to read your response. So you give it to them. All right. Now, there's also a production when you get injured. So Anthony Davis gets hurt. And then your trainer with the mask on, dude was like, hey, man, you looking real soft out here right now. How you feel, Anthony? You can't see. hey, man, you better toughen up, man. It's the fourth quarter of a game, elimination game. We can get these fools out. You good, Anthony? Anthony just sitting there going like this. He doing like this. And I'm like, all right, look. Rubbing your head ain't going to help nobody, including you. Like, what you, what? And then the guy, you could tell the guy was like, I think you're okay. Or he was just like trying to push him and urge him. Hey, dog, know the moment right now. Can you play? And if that answer is a yes, you should be out there. Are you going to die in this moment? If the answer is a no, get your butt out there. And Anthony was just like, And then this is when I was like, all right, now if I'm his teammate, I'm questioning him. And it's okay. All you guys who have big hearts out there in the comment section, oh, don't ever question the man's toughness or how he feels. No, I'm going to do that because I've been questioned as well. And I know there are levels to this, right? So I'm looking at him walk away and he just, you know, that last walk away when he turned the corner, he knew he was still in camera shot. He was like this. Man, look, This is not a wake up in the morning, oh my God, I don't want to go to work, so let me make my excuse up kind of run. Like, what kind of moment is this, Anthony Davis? This game five, dog, you on the road. This team could get put away. You get your butt back in the game and let's play. And then this is one, all right, so I don't tweet stuff like that out. I don't like to go that far. I just got jokes, right? Everything I say always is with a joke, damn near. So then I'm like, all right, I want to tell everybody, yo, he faking this a little bit. So then he went even further. He went to the wheelchair. I said, Paul Pierce in the building. I said, this dude is really doing it. And I don't understand why. But there are some people who like, woe is me. Some people just like the negative attention. Some people do, for real. Some people just can't get right because they like that. And then there's another person out there who's like, I want you to need me, clamor for me, always need me. When I'm not there, you feel my loss. And then there's some people just soft. And then you're like, dog, that didn't hurt like that, did it? Hit me. And then you always say, well, hit me like that. See, man, that ain't hurt. And you're like, because you're tougher. That person is softer. And I do know that because my wife is soft and sensitive like that. Like, little things really hurt her. She exaggerates them, too. She'll let you know. My son is the same way, right? My two little girls, shoot, man, they run into a truck and ask the truck how you feel. Like, seriously, they don't care. So I do understand them. Anthony Davis, he one of them. He like my son. I get it. So then you go beyond that. I'm like, all right, I'm good. And then you hear the reports. He looked good. He looked fine. Darvin Ham's talking about it. He walks to the bus. No problem. I'm sure he's not doing this when he's walking to the bus. There's no cameras. I'm sure he's not doing this when he's on there talking to LeBron. LeBron like, bro, if you don't stop playing. So point being, I thought it was done then. And then I watched Inside the NBA and I saw Charles... And Ernie, you are amazing at what you do, but you gotta let moments like this just live, have a life of his own. Ernie was over there player hating on this moment. And he was, I don't get the joke. All right, guys, come on, man, stay on topic. Like, them dudes were clowning Anthony Davis in the wheelchair. That's part of the camaraderie that comes with sports. We're taking you guys behind the veil, right? That's why I'm in the locker room right now. This is the locker room. This is the show where we talk it like they really talk it and walk it. Trust me, everybody on them Lakers got jokes for Anthony Davis. They're only going to be funny if they win this series. All right, let's talk about college basketball star. I'm not a star, huh? I got a chopper in the car, huh? Hunter Dickinson implies NIL a factor in transfer to Kansas from Michigan. Go from Kansas to Michigan. Let's talk about why. He said, well, it was an increase in my name, image, and likeness. For y'all who like acronyms, NIL earnings played a role in his decision to transfer to Kansas. All right, so who is it? You know, he's an AP All-American, honorable mention, averaged 18.5 points, 9 rebounds as a junior at Michigan last season. Okay, so his critics are clowning and mad at him because he made this transfer. Well, he went on his own podcast, Round Ball, good name, and he broke it down. He said, look, quote, the people hating on me, why you wanna play hate on me? Loonies, if y'all don't know that song, Google it, it's dope. All right, the people hating on me will leave their job right now for a $10,000 increase. I got at Michigan less than six figures. I got less than six figures at Michigan for the year. Damn, that dude had to double down and say it again like he didn't say it the first time. Said it with his chest the second time, right? Now, he's the number one transfer in ESPN's rankings and the portal. And everyone is saying, when I say everyone, I loosely mean that, but y'all know how the game goes. He made a selfish decision. Oh, but his arrival elevated Kansas. Yes, it did. All right, so let's do that. He said, I still do love Michigan, all right? I still do love Michigan, all right? How many classes he got? Sucker here. Well, these athletes be telling on themselves, I still do love Michigan. There you go. He got it right second. I still love the school and everything. I love the program. That's why it was so hard to leave because I really didn't want to leave. I didn't, but I just felt like, man, it was the best decision for me. It took a lot of courage. I don't think people realize how much courage it took for a guy who was there for 3 years and All-American for the team. Ooh, woo, pat myself on the back. I did have a legacy there. Oh, my God, he all in the sauce. And I basically gave that up to try to be selfish and do what's best for me and my career, not what's best for anybody else's career. Okay, two things here. One, he loves him some him, and I like that too. I love me some me, right? It's just, you got to be really careful how loud you tell everybody how much you love yourself. That's one thing I did learn in life. Like, trust me, between my ears, I'm one cocky sucker. I got my doubts, but that's just management. That's what confidence is, the management of doubt. Doubts come in, we whoop their ass, and they get up out of here. I'm a cocky dude. But when I'm talking, trust me, I just sound confident, right? You can't leak like this. A legacy here, oh my God, I was courageous. Courageous? That's not the choice word I would use to go to another school because you got paid more. That's not courage. There's a different word. I'm going to let you find it, my man Dickinson. All right. So the courageous part, miss me with that, dog. Don't prop yourself up. Give you a badge of honor in this moment when you just basically going to get more money, dog. Chase the dough. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But I do like that he did focus in on being selfish, because one of the things I always talk about, we're going to bring it up again, is what's in common between being selfish and selfless. Self, right? There's this trickery going on in this world where people want you to be selfless in a lot of your power decisions. And then they, when introduced to the same opportunity, will be selfish. And then if they're selfish, it comes off with a negative connotation when really it's just about self, selfless and selfish. Talk through it. Okay. So someone comes to you and say, I got this opportunity for you to play college basketball in a major program. Got this opportunity for you to play here. Here's Michigan. Here's Kansas. Oh, Kansas is giving you more. Oh, but you're at Michigan. Well, coach was at Michigan and he left. The administrators are at Michigan. They left. Other students go and no one cares. Why can't I go? And there's an obvious reason. And there's still going to be a tremendous opportunity for me to go pro and get paid more while I'm in pursuit of going pro. So selfish, even though it is the proper word, the connotation is wrong. We shouldn't look at situations like that with this situation, because the dude is making the decision that's best for him. But you could tell that it's hurting him. You could tell that it's irking him. And you could tell that this is not a smooth road just yet. Because why? He has to justify it by saying he's so courageous. He has to justify it by saying, oh man, you know, it was so difficult. Sometimes it's not even difficult. The toughest thing is, it's just going to be a new place. Going somewhere new for anybody is just going to be an interesting discussion. It's going to be an interesting discovery, right? But always making everything you leave, oh, it's such a difficult decision. Look, right now, if some company out there wants me to do this, and I'm like, all right, can I do it the same way? Can I do it my way? And they're like, yeah. Oh, by the way, we're going to give you way more money. I'm like, this wasn't a difficult decision. People be doing that just to kind of keep two loyalties going. I want this fan base not to hate me, and I want this one to love me. Well, if you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth, guess what? You're going to get a little of this and a little of that. Or you could have had it all, right? So just stop it, man, in terms of this situation. It's okay to be selfish. It's okay to be selfless, because they're both coming from the same spirit, from the same person, from the same mindset, from the same body, that of self. And that's okay. So Hunter Dickinson, my man, enjoy your stay to Kansas, right? Enjoy your new time and your new riches, right? But next time, leave the sauce behind, you know what I'm saying? There was enough meat and potatoes to this story. Well, we get it, big dog. You're getting paid more. That's the new world. It's the NIL, Wild Wild West. We totally get it. Leave the sauce to the side. I think this story tastes better that way. Time to get real, time to get raw. Y'all know where I'm from. Y'all know where I'm from. Y'all know where I'm from. It's over there, Compton to Columbia, right? So I done seen some gang violence, unfortunately. Well, this story kind of lands in that space, and we're going to have to walk through this. Eagles first round defensive lineman, we all know who he is, Jalen Carter, is getting criticized by social media for repping Blood Gang in video where he's in the car with his former Georgia, now Eagles teammates. Check out the video. Okay, You know, I think this is a good time for us to talk about, is this nothing, something, or everything? This is something. And let me tell you why. I don't think he's repping Blood Gang. Now, I don't act like since I'm from Compton, I know every single gang all across America. And it was weird when the gangs were starting to take over all of America because I thought it was just going to be an L.A. thing. Then you leave L.A., it's just like Compton, homie. You know, DJ Quick said, you were like, damn, everybody banging. Next thing you know, you hearing dudes claim 60s and it ain't a street that is numbered 60th in they hood. I'm like, y'all claiming a street y'all don't even live on? But that was as silly as the dudes who were claiming the neighborhood that they ain't even own. Catch that? So we all out here renting and then some of these cats banging. I'm like, dog, we don't own none of this. Let's change our mindset. I digress. So watching that video, nothing, something, or everything. For me, something because it's not that he's banging Blood Gang. Even though it's not gangster what he's doing, it's gang-ish. Like the whole uniform, we know what gangsters look like. At least they used to look like that. I think that kind of stopped with the Cash Money records and all that stuff was the last time we saw uniform gang looks. And then now I know real gangsters and they wear button downs. I know real gangsters, they throw a suit on and be sitting there in the cut ready to snipe. So be careful, right? But that harsh, strict uniform of the 80s, you know, the flag out the pocket and all that in the 90s and then the bandana early 2000s, I think that's played. So I don't think this is gangster. Is gang-ish. But I do know what it is. There are two things I know this is. One is the survivor's remorse is on full display right now. This young black man who just got millions of dollars along with his teammates who were in the car with him as well have this survivor's remorse. And this survivor's remorse is that they not only survived whatever conditions they went through, and sometimes they didn't even go through it. I'm not certain of these guys, but sometimes people will represent the culture at large and say, I survived the black cultural experience, right? Ja Morant comes to mind. And people were talking about cats who are balling out there who are from nice neighborhoods. I wish my son MJ would try to get gangster. I'd be like, man, we grew up in Encino. We raised you in Encino. I'm from Compton and I ain't that gangster. Yo ass gonna do it in Encino, boy, stop. So anyway, I'm watching this, the survivor's remorse, right? I survived it and now I'm thriving in it. But guess what? I feel like I'm leaving my people behind. I feel like I'm leaving some people behind me in terms of resources and assets. I'm up here now, they down here. Basically, real survivor's remorse. You have experienced the same thing somebody else, but you didn't have the consequences that they have, right? We're all in this together. We're all black. We're all from this neighborhood. Whatever it is, my boy's in this car. And then, damn, not all of us made it like me, right? Get it. So the survivor remorse is on full display right here. Also, what comes from that, what's connected to that, is how you all of a sudden start to represent things to show that you're down, right? So gangsta look or just whatever that is, what he's doing, the costume that he's wearing is not the same costume he will wear to sign his new deal, I would hope, right? Not the same costume he will wear to sign his endorsements, I would hope, right? So it's like, I want to be down because you know the symbolism in what you're doing right there. But we're not done. But the symbolism in this situation is to show I'm still down. I'm not going to change. I'm still down. I'm still repping. I hope you will change. I hope you are not down. I hope you are up and I hope you do change. Because soon as you get some change, yes, I hope you do change. And it's okay once again. Just had that conversation about being selfish. It's okay to change. And anybody who tells you it's not, that's somebody you need to question. Because it's not about, oh, I'm going to act different, but with change comes different actions, correct? So you ain't got to go out there and say, oh, look at you now. Oh, you completing your sentences now. You're talking proper now. Oh, you ain't dressing gangster no more. Like what? The changes you're going to make are all going to be good changes if you accept your new affluence and accept your new level of professionalism that's expected and responsibility, right? I don't know the statistics, but guys who try to rep the streets And Tupac comes to mind, obviously. Like, he wanted to be the symbol of going through it, right? The outcomes aren't so positive for those guys versus the people who want to rep something else that's more responsible. You get it? It's that simple. But here's the real issue with that. Forget all the gang stuff and stuff, because I don't really think he out there gangster and all that. Let's stop. He was driving distracted, even though it looked slow, even though it looked like in traffic, and even though I am no angel behind the wheel, even though I have a Tesla and it drives itself. But the point is, come on, man, Jalen Carter, you ain't learned yet. Already on probation from the incident that happened that killed two people where they were racing and driving recklessly earlier this year. We remember, right? So driving distracted, come on, man. Your team, I don't think your team is even going to trip on the gangster stuff. They're going to say, hey, man, whatever that is, just cease that. Like, keep that behind you. But this driving distracted, reminding people of why there were criticisms and issues even drafting you and why you slid, if you want to call it that, in the draft. Come on, man. You're on probation for the incident. And at that time, two people died. One of them was intoxicated. And on top of that, driving 104 miles an hour, and you racing them, and they die. I ain't say you killed them, but people are saying you killed them in part because you out there racing, and that's the consequence. Once again, survivor's remorse. You catching this? So my thing to him is, man, forget all that blood gang and sorry for those who lost their life when you were driving recklessly and racing them and their blood alcohol level. Forget all that blood stuff. Forget all this gang stuff. Get into the ball, because your issues right now seem to be behind the wheel, and it seems to be the choices that you're making now, once again, behind the wheel. So, man, leave all that stuff alone and behind you. People always used to come and clown me. Oh, man, but I've always been this way, so it wasn't like I changed. They just thought that now, oh, since I made it, that I wouldn't care to give them some change. And I always said, dog, you ain't going to twist me mentally in terms of making me think you more important than me. You know, repping this city and this street is more important than me and my legacy. Like, because I got to have this legacy anywhere, right? So you got to know that balancing act between, oh, yeah, I'm always here. I'm always thorough. I'm always on my square. But at the same time, I'm trying to build these squares brick by brick. So, man, Jalen Carter, so far, rocky start to this professional career off the field. Looks like a baller. Looks like it's going to translate to the NFL level. But let's hope things like this don't come and undermine them. All right, y'all. Y'all know how we finish every show. We finish it with a Wiley It. Oh, I can't do that after talking about gangs. Wiley-ism. Keep your hands to yourself. Keep your hands to yourself. Let's do it. All right. Advice is what we ask for when we already know the answer, but wish we didn't. I'm going to read that again. Advice is what we ask for when we already know the answer, but wish we didn't. How many times you done picked up the phone, called your boy, called your girl? Hey, yeah, man, let me just say something real quick, though. Like, moms and, you know, and moms and dad are going through it, and, you know, I got to go over here, and I just want to know what you think I should do. I've been on that call 1,000 times. The one calling and the one listening. And I always felt the same way. I know what needs to be done. I just need to do it. Case in point, my wife is this person. And I get upset when I do it. And she really gets upset, but I got to do it. I was like, baby, we're talking about what you need to do, but we already know what you need to do. So let's stop talking. Let's start walking. Let's just do it. You know, you asking me questions about your homegirl, call your homegirl. You ask me questions about your mom, call your mom. You already know what to ask. You just need somebody to build you up to get to that place. Understood. But this advice is what you're asking for when you already know the answer. You calling me for? I'm a middle step and an unnecessary middle step. Be powerful. Be yourself. You know what you want. Go get it. Conquer it, right? So it's funny because my wife, we had this discussion this morning. She had a lot on her plate. And she was looking at it like, woe is me. And she was talking through it and saying, man, I feel a little anxiety. It feels heavy. And I said, baby, you know me. Sorry. I love you so much. And my support comes this way. I'm looking at everything you just said as a blessing. We're going to flip it upside down. We're going to make those lemons lemonade, right? Oh, you got to film this. You got to go here. You got to call there. P- people will beg for those moments and opportunities, beg for the platform you have now. So don't look at it that way, or you're going to tell the universe, I'm good. I don't need any more on my plate. And the universe will nicely and respectfully oblige. It won't give you another blessing, right? So be careful. And also, I was like, baby, you know what to do. Just look at all these things as a positive, right? And that's it. And literally, I thought I was going to get the same on. You never support her. You never listen because I'm always trying to fix it or just help her or really tell her mental health is like physical health. You know, y'all caught that lesson before we talked about it. I was like, look at it that way. Do the right things. Physical health is easy to see. Physical dimension is the easiest to see. The emotional, the mental is the tough part. And we talked through it. And next thing you know, she gave me a hug and she smiled through. And I was like, damn, that's dope. Which made me have to come to you guys today and remind you of this Wileyism, that advice is what we ask for when we already know the answer, but wish we didn't. All right, y'all, that'll do it for More To It. Check the show notes for all the information on our topics today. Today! Want to keep the conversation going? Let's talk. Find me on all socials at Marcellus Wiley. More To It is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, Dad Dude Entertainment, and Workhouse Media. The show is executive produced by Dan Patrick, Marcellus Wiley, Paul Anderson, and Nick Pinella. Thanks for all the love, ratings, and subscriptions, and reviews, membership to Wiley's World on YouTube. Keep it coming, because there's more coming from More To It. Talk to y'all hella soon. Go.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.